It's 8:20 now on the Fan. We're going to go to Rick Benet, who is a maker of hockey, of table hockey games. Some would say the best hockey table hockey games going, and also put together the World Table Hockey Championships. We'll go now to New York to talk to Rick after this. On the Fan, I tell you, we're all over the place this morning, from a sport that takes you outdoors into the fresh Canadian winter to one in which you would never, ever, ever have to leave your basement. We're joined now by Rick Benet, who is on the line from Greenwich, New York. Good morning, Rick.
Morning, John. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I read an article in the Globe and Mail here in Toronto by Raphael Sugarman on the weekend that I thought was very interesting. I have a few friends who play pretty serious table hockey. But one of the things that I've always had a problem with in table hockey is the fact that the game never stands still, and the particle board that they use to actually make the what would be the ice surface often falls apart. Now, before we get to the actual table hockey tournaments, how about the way you make your table hockey boards? From everything I can gather, they would stand up an awful lot longer than most of the ones we're used to.
Yeah, the whole idea was to build a game that wouldn't be a toy. And you grow out of it's good for a 5-year-old to play on a little Wayne Gretzky model or something like that and get their hands started and get the sense of what it's like to play directly up against another person and to simulate real hockey. But the idea was to make a piece of equipment that an adult could play on. And we started the business in '82 and been through our tournaments, been improving the game with the help of all the tournament players giving suggestions and whatever. To the point where the games, it's almost miraculous how well they stand up in the pounding of men playing long days on our tables during our tournaments.
Well, and it seems like there would be a comparison that could be drawn, say, between a Super Nintendo game and a Sega Saturn or a Sony PlayStation, whereas one is a good, solid game for kids. The other one is for the true aficionado. And when you're talking about one of your games, Rick, we're dealing with, what, about $600 U.S.?
Yeah, that's right. But it's a... Like I described the game, it's basically a 2x5-foot, 55-pound game that has a plexiglass ice surface. It has lights over it that, bathe and really illuminate the rink. It's a very high-tech-looking game. Nylon players, fiberglass rods. You don't have to worry about bending the rods as you had with the old steel rods in the games. The plexiglass surface is very well supported with clear struts. So the game looks beautiful and plays like an iron horse.
Do you offer some sort of a guarantee, Rick?
Well, there's a 30-day return on the game, and as long as the games get there, shipping a game over long distances sometimes results in some damage. But once the game is in people's hands, it's very easy to maintain and repair, and nothing breaks on it.
Okay, here's one of the great questions concerning table hockey, and this would be almost a physics-related question. And one of the great argument starters in table hockey, guy whips a shot, goes into the net, pops back out. You don't know whether or not it's a goal. Have you been able to somehow get around that?
Oh, and through a baptism of fire, we've been holding tournaments for like the last 8 or 9 years. We've had 22 so far, and the early tournaments with the competition between the players being so fast and ferocious, and because you really are playing direct. It's one of the few sports where you can play directly up against another person, plus use both hands at the same time. Maybe boxing's the only thing that really compares with it when you get the game to a level. And we had the poor people who weren't playing. They had just finished the game. They would referee, and it would be their job to see if the puck had bounced out. And long story short, we've, through a lot of suggestions of the players, we've worked out a way where we hold 99% of the pucks in the net, and it hits the net, drops down through the floor of the net into a box, and it sounds like a stone going into a 55-gallon drum, so there's an extra... echo when you shoot a hard goal in.
So I would hope
in the rare occurrence where a puck will bounce out, now you just play on. But
I would hope that during those early times that there was no physical violence involved.
Well, it came pretty close.
Nobody pulled weapons or anything.
No. But we had to separate a number of guys at a number of tournaments, and it put a bad taste at the end because there's so much good feeling at these tournaments. You can understand why after a boxing match that the boxers do embrace. The mutual respect and that they've been through something very intimate together.
Well,
especially some of the great classic games we've had.
Your table hockey board, and we only have about a minute left to go here, is the one that is used for the Hubbard Hall Championship, which is basically the world championship of table hockey. My question is, if you were to get somebody that played table hockey once or twice a year, was not very good at all, up against somebody who was, say, in this tournament, a very good. How lopsided would it be? Like, just how good are these guys that are at the top of the table hockey game?
Well, we had in our last tournament, we had about four or five new players who actually had one of our table hockey games for a few months and had tried. And of the four of them, one player got 1 point in the entire tournament. We have a mercy rule because, you know, you don't want to make it embarrassing. I mean, you reach a point. It's once there's a 7-goal spread, the game ends. So that it could happen in the first minute, or it could last through the whole 9-minute game that we play, 3 3-minute periods. But you know, it's a learning process for. But some people, we had the player at our last tournament, Mario Ouellette, although he had played in the league before, had never been to a tournament, an international tournament before, and he actually won the cup on Sunday. So some miracles can happen, but he was well prepared. Okay. Anyone else who just says, well, I'd love to play, you know, I've always played and I've played well in other games coming in. There's just too many nuances and just too much of a transition. It becomes a very complicated game when you play with such a large ice surface.
Okay, Rick, let's say somebody has a few bucks or a lot of bucks, 600 or so American, to spend on somebody who they think may want one of your table hockey games for Christmas. How would they get in touch with you?
Well, the company's Table Hockey, and we're in upstate New York near Saratoga. Our mailing address is RD3, and it's Greenwich, Green, W-I-C-H, New York, 12834. And our phone number is area code 518-692-7622.
And in New York, they have to call it Greenwich. They can't call it Greenwich like everywhere else.
With a town of about 2,000, so they have to make themselves distinct some way.
Well, that's true. Absolutely. No, New Yorkers are distinct, though. I have no question about that. Rick, I tell you what, if anybody else wants information, they can call us here at the radio station, and we'll pass that along to them. We appreciate it, and I wouldn't mind one of these under my tree this year myself.
Sounds good. I'll send one up to you, John.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Rick Benet, and he puts together the table hockey board, which is the state-of-the-art. It is the Silver Spur Rolls-Royce of table hockey games. Cost you about $5.95 U.S., $6.55 U.S. with mounted lights in. This sucker is as good as they get. 8:28 on the Fan.